Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 6, Text 55.
Ta Swapatyur Maharaja Niriksha Adhyatmikim Gatim Anvius Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Ivarchashaha Tasvapatyur Maharaja Niriksha Dhyatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Nivarchashaha Tasvapatyur Maharaja Jatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Nivarchashah
Tasvapatyur Maharaja
Niriksha Jatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Nivarchashah Tasvapatyur Maharaja Niriksha Dhyatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Ivarchashah Tasvapatyur Maharaja Niriksha Dhyatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Ivarchashah Tasvapatyur Maharaja Niriksha Dhyatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Ivarchashah
Ladies
Tasvapatyur Maharaja
Niriksha
Dhyatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena
Agnim Shantam
Ivarchashah Tasvapatyur Maharaja Niriksha Dhyatmikim Gatim Anviyus Tat Prabhavena
Agnim Shantam
Ivarchashah Taha All the wives of Sopuri Swapatyuhu with their own husband Maharaja O King Parikshit Niriksha observing Adhyatmikim
spiritual
Gatim
progress
Anviyuhu followed Tat Prabhavena by the influence of their husband. Although they were unfit, by the influence of their husband, they could also grow.
By the influence of their husband, they could also grow.
To the spiritual world.
Agnim,
the fire.
Shantam,
completely merged.
Iva,
like. Archashaha, the flames. O Maharaj Parikshit, by observing their husband progressing in spiritual existence, Soghuri Muni's wives were also able to enter the spiritual world by his spiritual power. Just as the flames of the fire cease when the fire is extinguished. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Tepi Antiparam Patim. Women are not considered very powerful in following spiritual principles. But if a woman is fortunate enough to get a suitable husband who is spiritually advanced, and if she always engages in his service, she also gets the same benefit as her husband. Here it is clearly said that the wives of Soghuri Muni also entered the spiritual world by the influence of their husband. They were unfit, but because they were faithful followers of their husband, they also entered the spiritual world with him. Thus, a woman should be a faithful servant to her husband, and if the husband is spiritually advanced, the woman will automatically get the opportunity to enter the spiritual world. Thus, Anna Bhaktivedanta purports of the ninth canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Downfall of Soghuri Muni. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jita Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Persana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Pitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Gopatirubhyascha Kapasindho Pyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Tasvapatyur Maharaja Nirikshad Yatmakim Gatim Anviyustat Kapavam Agnim Shantam Ivarchashah. That doesn't seem like an improvement, does it? It was running on batteries. Oh, it was running on batteries?
Yeah.
Let it run on batteries till it runs out. That's better than this. It was fine. Prabhu? Yeah. We'll go as far as we can. We'll go as far as we can on the batteries. When the batteries run out, if they do, I'll talk loud. And you can fix it between now and 1 o'clock. Or figure it out. It's probably not broken, it just needs to be figured out. Okay. Tasupatur Maharaja. Is it loud enough? Hello, is it loud enough? No, now it's stopped altogether. That's probably
the usual problem. It's always broken here.
Tasvapatyura Maharaja Nirikshadhyatmikim Gatim Anvirustat Prabhavena Agnim Shantam Ivarshasha. So the wives were not so qualified. The generally women are considered to be in the weaker section and therefore less qualified. But Anvidu, but by following, they attain perfection. In Kali Yuga, especially, no one is qualified. Sri Sudra Dujbhavana Natrayi Shruti Gocha. It said that these three qualified, three classes of people are ineligible for understanding. For undergoing Vedic study, stri, the women, shudra, the men of the lowest class, fourth class men, and vijabandhana, those who are born of high families, but who are unworthy of those families. They're members of the family by birth, but not by qualification. So, Natrayi Shruti Gochara. Just as in the university, it's not that you just pay your money and walk in. There's some qualifications expected. You have to show a sufficiently high grade average or whatever it is, so that they say, yes, all right, you can sit and study. So, Sri Sudra Dijbandhu are excluded from Vedic study. Stri, Shudra, laborers. Laborers are not intellectuals. Women are generally not intellectuals. They're interested in shoes and curtains and so many things. If you want to know the women, difference between men and women, just look at the shoe rack and see what the women's shoes look like and what the men's shoes look like. Women's shoes will be all little flowers and gold and this and that and the other thing. And men's shoes are just shoes. Generally. Because generally the women are more interested in things should be pretty, so many ways. So they're considered unfit. But on Anvidu, they simply followed. Their husband was fit, and they followed him and so they got to the same destination. Just as in a, like here you have safaris, and people come from different countries and they go on a safari and they don't know where the hell they're going or what they're doing. They would, left to their own devices, they would be lost in the wilderness or eaten by wild animals. They don't know where they're going or what they're doing. But they engage a qualified guide, and by following the guide, they have a very good safari. All they have to do is follow. The guide says, don't go this way, go that way. The guide says, for the night, we'll camp here. The guide says, roll your windows up. Or whatever the guide says, all the inexperienced people have to do is follow, and then they get the benefit of a very good journey, expedition. So the one is advised that one has to find a bona fide spiritual master. And follow. That's all. Probably it's a simple thing, just follow. One should follow in the footsteps of the great souls. We don't have to invent anything. We don't have to be brilliant. We don't have to be creative. We don't have to be highly intellectual. The only qualification required is to follow. If we follow, then wherever the person we're following is going, we'll also go there. Just we have to make sure to follow the right person. If we follow a guide who doesn't know where he's going, we also know where we're going. But if we follow the qualified person, the experienced person, the expert person, then simply by following, we'll also get to the destination. Krishna says everyone can come. It's not limited. Only men or only intellectuals, only these people or only those people. Everyone. Krishna is available for everyone. But one has to follow. If we want to reach Krishna, then we have to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone on the path of Krishna consciousness and achieved the destination. That's all. So the husband is also considered spiritual master. Therefore it's said, namochiyedya samupetra mityam. No one should become a husband unless he can deliver his wife from the clutches of birth and death. To become a husband is not simply to pick up a commodity for sense enjoyment. The way you pick up something at the grocery store or at the electronics store. We pick up some wife for our sense gratification. That's not the idea. One should not become a husband unless he's prepared to take responsibility for the spiritual liberation of his wife. Therefore, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Guruhita. The principle was that the boys would go to the Gurukul and become menial servants of the spiritual master. They would go to the school for spiritual culture, and they would serve as menial servants of the spiritual master and learn from him how to control their senses. Vasandanta Guru-Rita. How to become self-controlled, peaceful, austere, clean, tolerant, straightforward. How to get knowledge and self-realization. All of these things they would learn at the Gurukul. So that when they became mature, should they want to marry, they would be qualified to give spiritual guidance to the wife. He himself would be Krishna conscious. He himself would follow the path of self-realization. And so by following him, assisting him, the wife would also attain the same objective. That's the idea. Not that I just pick up a wife and then she's like a machine for sense gratification. Like a gum machine, you know, you put your coin in the machine and you get a piece of gum or you get something. Not like that. The wife is meant for going back to Godhead, and the husband is meant for taking the responsibility to bring the wife back to Godhead. Similarly, husband and wife together have to take the responsibility for bringing the child back to Godhead. That's also namocha yedya sumupetri mitya. It's not just, again, why not have a kid? One is meant to take the responsibility for training the child in such a way that he'll become free from the clutches of birth and death. That's the responsibility. So the wives of Shobhari Muni followed him, and swaprabhavena, tatprabhavena, by his power, they were able to go back to Godhead. It's also said, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite para, tomara shakati ache. Then what's the next
one? Amita kangala Krishna Krishna
That the Krishna se tomar, because the spiritual master is engaged in pure devotional service to Krishna. So he belongs to Krishna and Krishna belongs to him. So Krishna Shetomar, Krishna Dite Para. And because Krishna belongs to him, he can distribute Krishna to others. That's his power. Krishna Shetomar, Krishna Dite Para, Tomara Shokati Acha. Amita karma. So I'm not very qualified. I'm like a crippled person. I'm a fool. But I can follow in your footsteps and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And by your mercy, I can go back home, back to Godhead. This is the whole process. Not I'm very qualified, I'm as qualified as anyone else, by my own power, I can make it. Just we have to follow the qualified person. That becomes our qualification. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Maharaj, I'm wondering, on the material level we have distinctions between men and women. What about in the spiritual world?
Spiritual world, there's no difference.
So both are intelligent.
Yeah, yeah. This is material. Materially speaking, everyone is different. There's not material equality. All the bodies are different, and therefore there are different qualifications. If you want to, just like I heard, these Maasai guards are very good. So not that means that the other guards are not on the same level. The Maasais are known to be warriors, they're very strong, so they're more qualified. When you want a guard, if you get a Maasai, you'll have yourself a good guard. So why this prejudice? Why don't we just say, well, any guard, I don't care. But these people have certain qualifications. So we say, find a Maasai guard, they'll be very good. Similarly for other things, you want something else, some other qualification. Again, not everybody's the same. If you were looking for someone to lead an army, you probably wouldn't pick me. Yeah, I wouldn't make it as a general, but somebody else, or as a guard, you wouldn't say, here's a guard, here's someone. So someone's a good guard, someone's a good intellectual, someone's a good businessman, someone's a good farmer, someone's a good administrator, everyone has different qualifications. Materially. But spiritually, everyone is servant of Krishna. The guard can go back to Godhead, the farmer can go back to Godhead, the businessman can go back to Godhead, the intellectual can go back to Godhead, the mother can go back to Godhead, the father can go back to God, everybody can go back to God. Sriya Shudra Tata Vaishi Tepi Antiparanga. It doesn't matter. Krishna says, anyone, doors open. Because materially, everyone may be different, but that's this body. Just like I'm wearing saffron, and someone's wearing white, someone's wearing something else, black, maroon. So the dress may be different, but the dress is not the person. Just like this Maasai guy, okay, he's dressed a particular way, but even if he were dressed differently, still he's a Maasai, so the shirt doesn't matter. The dress doesn't matter. Maybe by seeing the dress, the thieves will see, oh, here's a Maasai guy. But still, he's still a Maasai, this dress or that dress. So this dress or that dress, everyone is spirit soul. There's no difference. Not that here's an Indian spirit soul, here's an American spirit soul, here's an African spirit soul. Spirit soul is one by quality. In the spiritual world, there's no such distinction. We're on the platform of Krishna consciousness, there's no such distinction.
But do they play different roles in the spiritual
world? Oh yeah. In the spiritual world, Krishna has his girlfriends, Krishna has his cowherd boyfriends, Krishna has his mother, Krishna has his father. His father's not cooking.
Definitely.
Mother is cooking. Everyone has a different role. But everyone is pleasing Krishna. Yes.
All men are not marriage material. All men are not necessarily marriage material.
Not all men are marriage material, true.
Now, but if you find a woman who by temperament or nature cannot become submissive to a husband, is she better off to remain unmarried, or should she just take more time to find a suitable...
Well, if she's not by nature very submissive, well, of course, it's good if she learns to be submissive. She may not, it may be against her nature, but still, it's in her best interest.
So all the women should get married? Okay.
As far as possible. It may not always work. So as you look in a chart, this woman will never be married. It happens like that. You look in the chart, this person will never have a son. This person will never be married. This person will never leave home. This person will never make money. This person, according to destiny, sometimes someone will never be married, or that's all right. But then everyone should be engaged in the service of Krishna. That's the real thing. Marriage is not the be-all and end-all. Yes?
How do you choose the right wife?
How do you choose the right wife? Close your eyes. Usually we're the least qualified person for choosing the right wife. The girl is the least qualified person for choosing the husband, and the boy is the least qualified person for choosing the wife. Why is that? First of all, they're inexperienced. You know, they're both young, and therefore they're not, don't have the benefit of a lifetime of understanding. So they're naive. They're naive. They really don't know what's going on. People who know what's going on are people who've been through it. But here are these two people, they were however many, they're naive, really. Then the next thing is that they're especially guided by physical attraction. You know, why do I want to marry her? Because of her eyebrows. Something about her eyebrows has attracted me. Something about the way she walks attracts me. Something about this or something about that. The sound of her voice attracts me. The way she smiles attracts me. Basically, sex attraction. Sex attraction is a lousy way for choosing a wife. In Kali Yuga, this is how matches are made, simply on sexual attraction. The boy is attracted to the girl is attracted to the boy on the basis of sex. And then they say, well, okay, we love one another so much, let's get married, so that we can have more sex. But then, after some time, reality starts to kick in. Sex is not so rewarding with this person, and there's such a cost. He's mean, she's bitchy. There's so many things that I'm not happy about. And then after a while I say, hey, there's a nicer one over there. Why am I going through so much trouble and disappointment over here when I could have that one over there? Either she thinks that way or he thinks that way, or they both think that way. And then I realize I didn't love you. I made a mistake. You made a mistake. But it's not too late. Now we could split up. And then they do the same thing again. And statistically, the proportion who split up after the second time is greater than those who split up the first time. First time it's 50-50. Second time, the divorce rate is higher. Because they've already done it once, came together looking for happiness, didn't work out, tried another one. So that seemed to give some, at least it got me out of this one, so it got me over here, but I'm not satisfied here. So, you know, like a safari, if I didn't find a lion here, then I'll go here looking for a lion. If I didn't find a lion here, then I'll go looking over there for a lion. But somewhere there must be a lion. So he goes looking for happiness until he dies. So, and someplace along the line, maybe some kids are produced, and then they get shuffled off someplace. Well, this week I'm with my mommy, that week I'm with my daddy, then I'm with my mommy again, then I'm with my daddy again. Now I have a new mommy, now I have a new daddy. Now I have three mommies and two daddies, or whatever it is. So everything is disturbed, everything is unsettled, everything becomes chaotic, unstable, and therefore people grow up screwed up. And that's Kali Yuga. Why? Because the husband and wife were not trained in spiritual understanding. They just got married for sense gratification. The child is just a byproduct of sense gratification. And the parents are confused. They're busy looking for their own happiness and they don't know how even to take care of the child properly. Maybe the child has become something to fight over. I should have custody. No, I should have custody. No, I should have custody. Again, like a commodity. So in the Vedic culture, the marriage is arranged by the senior people. The parents would take the responsibility for seeing to the suitable match. Because they're experienced, because they're stable, because they're mature, because they have the best interests of the child at heart, because they know how to judge the qualifications of the prospective wife or the prospective husband, because they're not impulsive, they're not just, gotta do it, all right. You know, I just want to get married, we want to get married. And then, you know, Tuesday they realize they're in love and Friday they're married. Because the senses are pulling. Mind is pulling. No, the parents are not like that. They're, in one sense, they're detached parties. They're involved, but they're not, it's not their senses that are demanding. I have to have something. I have to have something. Just like in eating, parents guide the child. Otherwise the child, he'll eat anything. When he's an infant, he'll eat a doorknob. When he's a little older, he'll eat all kinds of junk. But the parents give guidance. No, this is healthy food. No, this is bad food. This is rotten food. This is nasty food. This is junk food. This is good food. He'll eat anything because the tongue is demanding. But the mother, the father says, no, you should eat this. Don't eat that. So the parents would arrange for the, from the boy's side, they would see is the girl, what kind of family is the girl coming from? What is her character? Is she a virtuous girl? Is she a good cook? Do the astrological charts match? Is this a match that's going to work according to destiny? They would consult the astrologers who were expert in the subject. In so many ways, they would see. Is she of the same nature? He's a devotee, is she a devotee? She's a devotee, is he a devotee? She's an intellectual. Does she have an intellectual nature? Or she's a business-minded kind of girl? Is he a business-minded kind of boy? They would see how the natures would match. They would count so many things. So many things they would see. Then they would say, all right, good. And from the girl's side, the father would see, again, is he of good character? Do the natures match? Is he coming from a good family? Does he have earning capability? Can he support my daughter? You know, he's just a guy off, he's a nice boy with never had a job in his life. How's he going to support his wife? They would see to that. Is he responsible? So many things they would see. So by seeing the qualities of the boy and the girl, after so much consideration, and of course they would ask, you know, the father asks the uncle, so what do you think? And this one asks that one, and there's a lot of consultation. And then the boy is consulted, the girl is consulted, you like this boy, you like this girl? Then after all of that, they settle it up. If you think about it, how much research do you do before you buy a car? Right? Before people buy a car, they look in the book and they see what this, that, what was a good year, what was a good model, how much mileage, this, that, the other thing. So many things they consider. Or before you buy a house. You know, is this a safe area? Will it get flooded? Will it get robbed? Will it get this? Will it get that? Is the seller an honest man? Is the price right? Is there a better house available? So many things carefully considered before you buy a house. You don't say, I love the house. Such a beautiful color, I love the house. Would anyone say that? I've always wanted to live in a pink house. This is such a beautiful pink house. All right, fine, $50,000, I'll buy it. And no one would say that. But when it comes to what time you're going to spend the next 20, 30, 50 years of your life, I love her. Her blue eyes, they're just too much. Huh? So therefore the boy, the girl, they're the least qualified to decide. It would be decided by the parents. Or if the parents are not there, then the uncle, some senior persons. In that way.
There are also some women, many times some women do not be married, and like they have taken longer. Like
They have
taken longer, like maybe wishing for a husband or something. So if there are hope for them.
They've taken a long time.
Yeah, they're like praying and asking Krishna for a wife or something.
Yeah, they're praying, they're asking Krishna. If it's destined, then they'll get a husband. If it's not destined, they won't. That's another thing, that generally, in the Vedic culture, the girls would be married young. Then it's easier. By the time, if she's 25, 30, then it's not, I don't like this one, I don't like that one, I don't like this one, I don't like that one. When she's 15, then, all right, if you think I should marry, then I'll marry her. When she's 30, she has a mind of her own, and da 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 da. So generally, they would get married at a young age. Finish the business.
If the world of life is to go back to Godhead, and there are two ways of going back to Godhead. That is first, devotional service, and the other one, dry philosophical speech, illusion, and stated in the Gita. Now, can you tell us why devotional service is preferred than the other part, dry philosophical?
Why devotional service is better than dry speculation? Because speculation takes a long, long time. It's hit and miss. I think this. It seems to me that this is the truth. But actually, this is the truth. This is the way. No, that's the way. I'm going by my own mind, and my own mind is limited and imperfect. So I think this, I think that, I think this, I think that. We may take lifetimes and lifetimes of I think this, I think that. Just like you look at philosophy, formal philosophy, there's this philosopher and he's analyzed things and he's come to this conclusion. And then the next philosopher comes and says, well, I mostly agree with him, but I don't agree with this part. He's missed this, so this is my philosophy. Then the next philosopher says, that was pretty good. It was progressive, but still it's got something. So I would propose this philosophy. And people go on and on and on speculating. But because the mind is material, the path of mental speculation will be very slow. And even when by mental speculation, what do I finally come to? Bahunam janmanamante ganavan mam prapajate. If I finally come to the right point by mental speculation, I'll understand. Vasudeva sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. Krishna is the supreme truth. Then what will I do? Mam prapajate. I'll surrender to Krishna and engage in devotional service. After lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, he finally came to the conclusion, now I have to serve Krishna. So why go through that long, drawn-out process? Why not just start by serving Krishna? If at the end of my mental speculation, I'll come to the conclusion of service, well, why don't I just do it now? That's the direct method. Simply speculating is no engagement. The goal of life is not to speculate and speculate. That's not my eternal engagement. In the spiritual world, people don't sit around speculating. They serve Krishna. The eternal function of the soul is to serve Krishna. So mental speculation doesn't directly engage me in that process. If it's successful, it will lead me to the conclusion of that process. It will lead me to conclude that I have to serve. But again, why not save myself all the trouble and just do it now? Therefore, we're advised to follow the pure devotee spiritual master. Save ourselves all that mental speculation. Again, we're in the on safari, should I go this way, should I go that way, maybe this way, that way. All right, I went this way, but it didn't go anywhere, let me go back. Maybe I should go that way, I tried that way, no, that led into the swamp. No, let me try another way, I go this way, oh, there's lions over there. Let me go this way. Instead, if you just follow the qualified guide, you know where to go. Then okay.
We found that yogis used to go to the forest in order to perform several penances and austerities in order to please Krishna. Do you think that system is still necessary after that?
Do I think what?
That you go to the forest in order to perform several austerities and penances in order to please God.
Yeah, they used to do that. That was a very good way to please God in previous ages. They used to go to the forest and they would be very peaceful and sit and meditate on Krishna and give up all material comforts, undergo austerity, and become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So it was very good. Now who can do that? Are you ready to go to the forest?
I want to go to the forest.
Yeah, I stayed for how long? Go to the forest and live on roots and berries. And how long will you stay? And it's not just living in the forest, how beautiful the forest is, but you have to sit, you have to meditate. How long will you do it?
1 week.
1 week. But it's not 1 week's business. They would go to the forest and meditate for 10,000 years. Or 100,000 years.
Do you think is this that he performs yajnas in the forest there? There's no sacrifice that we're supposed to perform there.
The yajna in the forest. What kind of yajna? First of all, really to perform yajna is not just an ordinary thing. That was also a previous age. When they would do yajnas, it was a big deal. You had to have all the right ingredients. You had to build an altar that was exactly the right dimensions. You had to chant the mantras in exactly the right accent. So they used to have 5 Brahmins, and they would all chant at the same time. But they would chant in such a way that it would be exactly on meter, exactly, almost kind of like when they'd launch a rocket, you know. The rocket has to be on target, it has to be the right speed, it has to launch at the right time. All the conditions have to be perfect. Then the launch is good. So they used to have the right Brahmins chanting in the right meter. The 5th Brahmin, if there was some discrepancy in the meter, he would counteract it by chanting in a different way. Keep everything on target. They used to put so much ghee in the fire. They used to have utensils of gold. This is all part of yajna. Now we're going to go to the forest for a week and do a yajna. It's not going to work. The only yajna recommended in the present age is Sankirtan yajna. Chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yagai Sankirtana Praya Yujanti Sumerasa. Is that okay? Yes?
When there's interreligious unions.
When there's?
Interfaith unions, like you were saying.
Interfaith union.
Yeah, interfaith unions. Maybe one is a Christian, another is a Hindu, or something. Now, when you need to have that person, you have a responsibility to take them to the spiritual realm. What if the other party says no? And this dissension there.
Therefore, the match should. What if there's interfaith union and one person wants to go one way, another person wants to go another way? Therefore, it's not very much recommended. They should be of the same nature. If a Muslim girl marries a Muslim boy, then it's very good. He says, worship Allah, and she says, yes. Allah is as God and Muhammad is his prophet. So it all works out fine. But when they're, I want to go this way, I want to go that way, then you have trouble from the beginning. You have a mismatch.
Would the dissolution then be necessary?
Or excuse me? What's that?
The dissolution of such a union, would that be a union in order?
Would it be a good union?
If it fails to work out.
I can't hear you.
If it fails to work out, would the dissolution of the marriage be in order?
Would a dissolution of the marriage be in order? No, now you've already got it. So we don't make it and break it, make it and break it. Then you have to accommodate. All right, you worship Allah, I'll worship Krishna. You go to church, I'll go to the mandir or to the mosque. So you have to accommodate now. Because you have two members, but two different directions, so now you have to give a little slack. And then maybe he'll say, hey, today is such and such, aren't you going to the mosque? You should have to get ready, you have to go to the mosque. And she reminds him, you have to go to the mandir. So they have to encourage one another in their own spiritual practice. Or they can both be Krishna conscious, because Krishna consciousness is for people of every religion. Doesn't matter, Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Everyone can engage in the service of Krishna. All right, shall we stop here? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to you.